You are listening to Always Record from SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. This is Always Record episode 115 with Misty Greer and Patrick Sivek.
Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you, Alan.
How are you, Miss?
I'm good.
Miss Misty.
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm really well. It's good to hear your voice.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it's good to hear yours as well. I know, it has been too long.
Misty, are you eating something?
No.
Okay. I'll take your word for
Sorry.
It. Not to correct you.
He's like, if you don't have enough to share.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not eating anything. Don't worry about it. There's nothing's happening here.
Okay. We'll pretend that's the truth. So, I finally finished the end of this Carl Jung documentary, and he built this.
Is that the one that I commented on?
Yeah. I had gotten most of the way through it.
Oh, don't ruin it for me. Does he die at the end?
I'm like half.
I haven't seen that one yet. Sorry.
I'll shut up. I bet he doesn't. I bet he doesn't die.
Well, he probably has some sort of immortal aspect to himself, or that is at least what he believed.
Right. Doesn't exactly. He should transcend?
Exactly.
He transcends into the alchemical.
Oh no. I can't hear anybody anymore.
Well, can you hear me?
Oh, wait, I can hear you now.
Alan might have dropped out.
Now I can hear you again.
I just muted. I realized I should let you finish your thought about the documentary.
I want you to finish your thought as well, so don't forget it. So you don't have to, like, build off mine. But I just found it interesting how he manifested his creative energy towards the end of his life. Building, I don't know if he built the house necessarily, but he certainly had some hand in its design. It's just this castle in the woods. Or, I mean, not a castle, a very small dwelling, but it has this mythological or, well, I mean, it's not a self-aggrandizing. It's not a self-aggrandizing.
It's not a castle.
It's kind of a different.
Just a very small dwelling.
Didn't Dolly not have a fucking castle?
I don't know. Probably.
He did. I thought you'd been there.
He had, like, fisherman hut.
He had, like,
a fisherman hut castle.
But it was pretty grandiose, right? It wasn't exactly humble.
Do you two both share the same, like, cognitive deficiency where you confuse castles and fishing huts or castles and little things in the forest?
Is it, like, a form of dyslexia?
Like, do you ever see, what's that movie, Royal Tenenbaums? And they, mm-hmm. You know, the kid sees, like, the fucked up cab and he's like, that door is green.
Totally.
Okay.
Make this Absolutely. Puzzle make this puzzle look like the other puzzle. You know, a castle or a fishing hut. Same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I was just talking with some person about people with mixed up senses and how they experience the world and what that must be like.
We should name this mental deficiency. What should
Oh,
we
it's
name
probably
it?
In some book already.
That's not
That's
really
a weird
fun
name
for naming it right now.
It's in a book.
Oh, John and Misty, you know what? You know they both have. There's probably a name for that already.
We can make new names for things, guys. Let's just put that.
That's
out
true.
There
I'm
right
being
now.
A little
we
like.
We name everything if we
I'm
want.
I'm being ridiculous in that. Oh, that someone planted their flag in that name, so we can fucking rename it.
Yeah, it's not gonna fly.
Castle Hut Forestelia or something.
I want to add Patrick to this call, but I don't want to do anything to interrupt the flow of a conversation. So can I try to add him one more time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let me see if he's on here.
No, you've done both.
Add to group call. Ellen, do you have a backup running recording? Mine's going fine. I just want to be. I like to be thorough.
I appreciate your thoroughness, John.
Yeah, I know you do.
I very, very much appreciate your thoroughness. We're similar in that respect. You and I both share the same mental deficiency, and I am. You can be sure that I am always recording.
All right.
When I have the ability to.
Right, of course.
Oh no, I'm not recording.
Then you have to leave.
Oh, God damn it.
Make an exception, I guess. But... Ugh. Patrick.
Patrick, are you recording?
Is he on? I can't tell. Oh no. It looks like he's here, but okay.
Patrick's a recording voice.
Patrick, are you out there? Can you hear me?
I know, it's like a poltergeist situation. Patrick's stuck in the TV.
Hello?
Whoa.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello!
Hey, I just got home and I have my dinner with me, so can you give me a few minutes to finish?
That's right.
Hey, Patrick's isn't eating. He's not eating anything either. No, Patrick, we're not eating anything.
I think that's probably okay.
All right. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. I won't sign off. I'll just go sit on in the corner.
I'm sure it's not really going to matter, but you're more than welcome to like mute your mic and listen so you can jump into the conversation whenever your
okay.
time comes.
Sure.
And this way we know not to talk about
whenever
you.
Whenever your time comes.
Alrighty.
Okay.
You have to listen to us, man. Don't. You can't just go. You gotta listen. I'm gonna lay down shit right here.
Pay attention.
You might miss something.
No, that's why you guys are recording. I don't know why I'm not recording. I probably should be, just for fun.
Do you have a program that can do it?
I have no idea, John.
Then you probably don't.
I don't know. I don't know at all.
Oh, so, okay. In one of my more bored moments, I'm sitting in a
room.
You
don't get bored.
No, but in my one of my more imaginative and quasi-delusional moments, I was thinking about my telepathic powers. And I wanted to make this little figurine just move a little bit. He's on a swing, and I want to make it move.
Ow!
Well, if you have a stream, you can jump in now, and I can finish this later.
The place that I was telling you about that I looked at today, right across the street, is a set of swings. Read your story, so
oh, cool. And it's encased in kind of a red square, which is close to a red house. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I said, okay, I created this little golem or servitor to move this thing for me and sent it off into the ether. I'm like, okay, good luck little guy, move this fucking thing. It hasn't moved. Mm-hmm. But last night I finally said, okay, I can see some of myself in Ganesh. I'm like, okay, that's a funny little parallel. And I have this little wooden elephant, and I pulled it out of my book bag and I put it on my nightstand. And then today I lost a little bit of time, I guess, because, well, at least I lost time when I moved this elephant. And this elephant was
Don't
now like kind of close to the little figurine and just staring at it.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, does that mean it worked? Because the relative position changed of me, my little Ganesh resonator. So did it actually, my question is, did it actually do its job, or am I just still crazy? I'm probably still crazy, but I like to think that the relative change means it actually moved. I'm going to imprint that on my own brain.
I thought we already discussed. We figured out the answer to everything is both, always.
Well, of course. But I want you to make a decision for me and make me maybe crazier than I already am. Or not so crazy.
Of course the answer is both. I still want you to come to a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just playing a game.
I don't have that power. I don't have that ability, man.
All right, so there's a man on a swing and a little wooden elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, one of them did move.
The elephant moved. I don't know how it got there. I guess I moved it, but I don't remember moving it.
Okay,
so,
because you lost time.
Yeah, but not,
you know why
not,
you lost time. You spoke to Mike Quelland.
I know. I'm like totally in training these.
Oh no!
Things.
Oh,
no, go ahead. I'm here. I'm just muting when I want you to talk. Or not when I'm just trying to step out of the way.
When I mute, you talk.
when you both mute, you both go away, and it just sounds like I'm talking to the black man.
No, don't be paranoid. This won't drop out every like.
You're always going to be talking to Patrick.
Exactly. Patrick! I see you over in the corner not eating anything at all. I was waving, by the way. Imagine me waving hi. Hi, I'm doing it now. What was the question about losing time?
Is John crazy?
Oh, yes, totally. Totally. 100%, yes.
Okay, sorry, I disconnected. Is everything still cool?
Yes.
All right.
You didn't disconnect, you're just crazy.
I think I'm just crazy. All right.
You lost time. We did.
It happened. That fucking thing moved. I'm writing that down, and I'm making it the story of my life. And that's going to be the big thing that I impress everyone with.
Well, it
with.
Is now.
Yeah. Now it's out in the open. Now everyone knows I'm a psychic. And can lose time at will and move things. Move little objects. But whatever. Ellen, can you regale us with more Shelby Downer stories? Because he was a real weirdo, right? What's the weirdest thing about him?
Oh, well, I actually wanted to, if you don't mind, I know you we were talking about that on the phone earlier today, but if you don't mind, I actually wanted to ask Misty a question, because I don't get a chance to ask her often.
Yes.
Misty, when you were first on 42 Minutes, you mentioned that you were a follower of Jason Horsley's work.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he's up near you? He's in a place called Hope.
I did know that, actually, yeah, just from sort of following his blog, I guess, sometime in the last year, half year. I saw that he moved to Canada for a while and was up here doing something, and then I guess he's in Hope now. I think I saw it on his Twitter account or something.
Yeah, I don't know how close that is to you, but
I have no idea either, because I'm the worst Canadian ever, and I never leave Vancouver. I also just don't look at maps and calculate distances randomly. So, I don't know.
Well, it says Hope, British Columbia. The event's already over, but I saw that he was doing like some sort of book signing /
oh, really?
And it said British Columbia, and I was like, oh man, I wish I had known to say anything to you about it before.
Hmm.
But he's got a new podcast.
I saw that he had you on it.
He did.
I didn't have a chance to listen yet. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I had to listen because I was on it.
it was a really interesting thing because like I've been working like crazy hours, and my hours keep flipping too. So like I'll be working like really late nights and then like really early mornings and then like middle of the afternoon and so I'm kind of like always really tired and kind of out of it,
jet lagged permanently.
Yeah. And so I had actually fallen asleep about an hour or so before I was supposed to do the call with him. And I woke up like a few minutes before, and I had these chocolate covered espresso beans that I like ate like a huge handful of.
Awesome.
And at some point during the call, I realized I was just kind of talking like this, and oh my god! And did you realize? It's like this could go so.
You got jacked up, monkey.
Yeah, I was like, this could be the worst. This is either going to be the greatest interview I've ever done or the worst. No, but anyway, I was. I guess it wasn't so much. I mean, I hope everyone listens not just to the one that I was on, but. He did an interview with Rodney Asher that I thought was really interesting. And I think I'm the sixth episode, so I guess he's got at least four others.
I haven't listened to any of them yet, but it's been on my to-do list.
I guess I just wanted to sort of throw that out there in case you had. As I said, there was something I remembered about you was saying that was your sort of entrance to sync was his work.
Yeah, that's how I found you guys.
I mean, his basic angle is that Kubrick is shit, or Kubrick is good, or which?
I don't think he really had.
Patrick, come back!
I think Horsley has been around much longer. You know, he's been around for a really long time, doing a lot of really interesting work. It was sort of like Kubrick has not been his focus, which was weird that like a few, you know, was that 6 months ago or whatever, that he said, I'm going to make this my focus because I feel like I have something I want to say about it. But that was his, what's the word I'm looking for? Au revoir?
How's that word?
It sounds right. Yeah. I don't know for sure. I like
it. It's all inclusive. I like it.
Yeah. It's much, much bigger than Kubrick is shit, but.
Right.
Oh, I was just going to tell Alan really quickly. So I was on Facebook earlier today, and Kevin Alcott posted a quote, or like a series of a back and forth between Alice and the Queen, about memory and time. And then I was out later the afternoon, and on the cover of the Life and Art section of the Globe and Mail here for March 17th was the Queen pointing at Alice, and like it says underneath, like, "I'm still Alice." And I thought it was really cute, especially because the last time I was on Always Record, you tagged me as Alice in the poster art. So I was like, that's a really cute little sync, considering you guys asked me to be on last minute tonight.
That is really awesome.
And, isn't that adorable? I love that.
I love the fact that Alice was on the, is this the front of, you are at least the front of that section.
Yeah, of the Life and Art section.
The 317 issue?
Yes.
That's huge for me, but yeah, that's deep. In many, many ways. But I'm glad you had it. Like, so it caught your eye for a personal thing. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how to. I see. Okay, well, let's start here. Alice in Wonderland was a story that was first told, right? Lewis Carroll, though it's not his real name. What is his real name? Like Dodgson?
I don't remember.
But let's just call him Lewis Carroll. Before he wrote the story down, it was like he was telling it as a verbal story.
Right.
And the first time he ever told it was, I believe, July 4th, which is a date significant to Sirius. I believe it's at the, I'm going to totally screw this up. Is that the heliacal rising of Sirius or something like that? And but whatever, it's a significant date for Sirius. He tells the story on the Isis River. Isis, in Egyptian mythology, Isis is seen as to correspond to, like when you look up at Sirius, that's a so like, all right, if you could do this right now, like if you ever want to find Sirius, most everyone knows how to find Orion. It's like the four corners with the three belt stars in the middle. Well, that constellation that we call Orion was the Egyptian Osiris. I mean, there's a whole host of things that are just interesting about Orion in itself. But if you look and you follow those three belt stars diagonally down to the left, you'll see Sirius. So it's just really easy if you ever want to just make sure you're looking at Sirius. If you see Orion, you follow the three belt stars just a little, you know, follow it like a straight line. Boom, it points right to it. So the Egyptians saw the Orion as Osiris and Sirius as corresponding to Isis. So he tells this story on a boat, which connects to the Duat and all this sort of, you know, all the imagery that wells up in your mind there, or at least in my mind. Orion was also, those belt stars were seen as the entranceway to the underworld. The story was originally called, we know it as Alice in Wonderland, but it was originally called Alice's Adventures Underground, which of course, so underground or underworld, right? It's the same idea of it's a descent. She's descending into the underworld. It's not just a fantasy world. It's a sort of deathly realm, in that respect. Right.
Yeah.
It's funny because, probably the famous American version of that kind of story is Wizard of Oz. And Frank L. Baum makes
important distinction. He actually, if you could find him writing about Alice in Wonderland, and he makes a distinction saying, well, Alice in Wonderland is a dream world. It's a fantasy world. He's like, but Oz is an actual place. Like, you can get on a boat and sail to Oz, or you can, you know, it's like on a map. It's a geographic location in his world, right? But of course, we refer to Australia as Oz, or the land down under, right? So again, we have this same sort of idea of like you going to the underground, the underworld, the land down under. It's all the same to me, at least. It's like there's a really strong sort of straight through line. But I don't know if anyone saw the Sing Quick News I just did.
Yeah.
So 317 was the date that Osiris died in the Egyptian calendar. So this idea that Alice, whose story is first told on the Isis River, while Sirius is doing its, like I said, I believe it's heliacal rise, and I apologize if that's wrong, whatever it is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to have her on the front page with the queen, who of course would be Isis, right? So it's like on March. So it's like it seems like a really powerful, resonating thing for me.
Yeah,
or I could be just completely projecting a convoluted.
should I run back to the Starbucks and grab it as a souvenir for you?
Sure, if it's still. I mean, it's probably gone by now, but. You said you grabbed
it. No, it'll be there. I'm super magical. It'll totally be there when I show up.
You said you grabbed a picture of it?
Yeah, I did. I snapped a photo of it.
That is more than sufficient. Yeah, I would appreciate the photo. Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah, totally. I'll send you the photo.
Cool.
That's awesome. And also, I don't know if we talked about this, but at least John and I were talking about it after the last time I was on Always Record about the movie Particle Fever, or the documentary Particle Fever, and I was tripping out because the symbol for, well, first of all, one of the teams or whatever was called Alice, which
is
I thought was
the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, and so one of the sections or teams or whatever is called Alice, and then the symbol, like the logo for Alice's section or whatever, is a stop sign. Or like an octagon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so that tripped me up because it was like another correlation. Well, I was just correlating death with stop, like physical stop, right? Because they're going, I don't know, whatever. I thought that was
totally
really cool.
Yeah, no, that makes yeah.
And a part of that collider or another, I'm forgetting. It's called Atlas.
Right.
I'm forgetting what its function is, but there's Atlas and Alice.
And what does Atlas do? But right, he holds up the globe, but that would position him literally under the world, right? Like,
there's this really it's not timeless or anything. It's just a well-known photo of the collider that is just looking in on Atlas, and it basically just looks like a rabbit hole. It's descending rather deep, and it has all that archetypal geometry of the death tunnel or the underworld descent and all that stuff.
I love
and
rabbit holes. Damn it, this is fast.
But it's all these, you know, rational scientists channeling the same archetypes over and over. It doesn't matter how much you pretend.
Oh, you guys.
You're above something. It's interesting.
I have this bunny ring that I always wear. It's like the silver. It kind of looks like the Donnie Darko head and the ears bent. It's really cute. It's had these two little black eyes. I just noticed for the first time yesterday that it's missing one of its eyes.
That's
like Donnie Darko.
That's just like Donnie Darko.
I know. But it just happened like yesterday. Or at least I noticed yesterday, so I don't really know when it happened.
Oh, there's something. Oh, there's another story of someone goes to the underworld and gets their eye plucked out.
Well, also.
But I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it like a transformation thing? Like about David Bowie and the like different colored eyes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well,
is that making
it's a lot of shamanic
sense?
Type of
I don't
stuff.
Know.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know
well,
where that came from.
A lot of shamanic
I just
stuff.
Made all of that up.
You channeled it.
David Bowie does have two different colored eyes. That is very
Thank
much.
Thank you,
true.
Alan, for fact checking for me.
No, that
I
is
really
absolutely true.
It.
Yeah. You know, so just to throw this out there, it's if you look at the constellations, it's actually really interesting because you could see Orion is like he's the, and we say Orion, he's the hunter, and at his foot is the dog, and the dog is chasing a rabbit. So it's like you see like basically Osiris, at his foot is the dog, and the dog's chasing the rabbit. So they actually...
Is that where that term, like, my dogs are barking came from?
Maybe.
From Osiris's foot? That would be so awesome.
Patrick, are you there? No. He just came in. He threw in a tidbit, like, in chat, and then he just fucking bailed.
God damn it, Patrick. Sorry to interrupt.
He's just fucking with everything. Trying to... unmute my mic.
Kevin Halcott did a really cool video. I don't know which one his was called, but it's
basically, but it's all about this idea of like the rabbit hole being like this deathly realm. Mm-hmm. It's one of his earliest sync films, and it's really, really good.
I think I might have seen it.
Yeah.
But he's not here tonight, so...
I'm sad about that.
Well, what... Okay, so what do you think that is? The tunnel? Is it just a regression of, like, birth and getting shoved out the birth canal? Or is there something... do you think there's something more to it? Like, it reflects a pattern going on in space-time or something that you're intuiting? Or... I don't know. I have all kinds of ideas in between. It's got to be some kind of interface between the two. But just the fact that they're all... transcultural, and sometimes those are tethered into other kinds of mythological themes and stuff that transcend, you know, Freudian stuff or birth trauma stuff, mm-hmm. or other imprinting. But it's just I don't know. I don't know why that came to mind.
Well, wouldn't it just be like all of those things?
Right.
It would be like the different.
This is full circle. Projections. He's doing exactly. It too again. It's like, so it's like this, it's kind of this and this, but pick one.
Exactly. We just did a fucking loop. How much time did we lose? Wait, you guys are recording.
I did that to David 2 weeks ago. David and I kept going, well, sure, yes, it's both, but clearly it's this more.
Clearly it's, yeah, it's all, yeah, I don't know.
It's just nice to have those little security blankets now and then, just for the sake of playing. No, like picking like a... I was talking to Alan about this a lot, like picking a model.
Oh.
Just kind of arguing over it, even knowing that there's no way to win the argument. There's just like always holes in what you're arguing, and a model can never be the terrain. Mm-hmm. So just that whole premise. And I think we at least realize that it's a game, and it's a semantic game, and it's a psychological game. So we might still like indulge in it, but it's not to the point where we're killing each other over it, or even like mad at each other over it. Not,
are you
like,
saying you're dispassionate in what you're saying?
Of course. Yeah, I don't, I'll say whatever needs to be said to manipulate other people. But beyond that, I just find that. I, you know, these are the games we play. It's just like, I think, and that's like fun. So it's
play.
Like, it's fun. I think we all play them. It's unavoidable, right? Maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah, you're talking for yourself right now, John.
Whatever. You're all just posers. I'm the only genuine poser. One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the only real one. But anyway.
Copies.
Patrick's kind of real. I don't even know Patrick's here because he hasn't said a fucking thing.
Can you guys hear me?
He said something. Oh, there you are. Yeah,
can you hear me?
You are real. I can hear you.
Okay. I don't think my headset that I just got works yet. I have to maybe get it set up in the settings or something. So I'm using the stock mic right now. And this whole iPad is new to me too, so I'm still figuring it all out.
It sounds good.
Yeah, you actually sound really good. I'm sorry that I made you... I'm sorry that I made you sit here and listen to this gibber jabber.
Jabberwocky.
Seems appropriate.
Stay here. Something important might happen.
Okay.
Patrick, you mentioned Kate Bosworth.
Oh, yeah, she has two different colored eyes.
Oh.
I don't
know
who
why
that is.
I'm getting the two different colored eye thing, or like a change in color of an eye. I don't know where that came from, connected to transformation.
Well, also Sirius, you know, has the two alternating blue and red, and they changed colors, and then they merge into purple, or something like that.
Isn't
and
one of David
so
Bowie's eyes
this...
is purple?
Oh, no shit, really?
Yeah, I really think so.
But in opposite land, that would be true. That's so
I mean,
true.
In opposite land, I really think David Bowie has a purple eye.
Yeah, in opposite land, that's absolutely true.
God, I'm going to fucking Google David Bowie. Look, I just typed David Bowie, and the first thing that comes up is eyes. For real, wait. In Google, the first, I want everyone to try this, because I want to know if Google's listening to me.
Oh, no, I can't do it, because I'm on my phone.
Okay.
I have to talk to you.
John, are you at a computer? The first search that comes up, I just write David Bowie, and the first thing it says David Bowie eyes, David Bowie heroes, David Bowie space oddity, David Bowie
again,
Bing Crosby.
I like
that we're arguing about colors right now. It makes me really happy.
It's all very important.
Green is the opposite of purple.
Is it?
Gold or black? Blue and green, or gold and black, or white and gold?
I'm so bad with my color wheel and shit. I can never correspond anything on it.
I like the idea of you just having a
and being like,
where do you keep your color wheel? Exactly.
I should get one and just study it before I go to bed and my subconscious work on it, but I'm too lazy. Okay,
I'll send you one.
I appreciate it.
I'll send you one.
Oh, nice.
I have a few,
so you
actually
won't miss it.
No, I never look at it.
I don't. Long story short, I don't see a purple. I don't. The eyes are so fucked up.
I'm looking at a David Bowie FAQ something, and it says he
it
has
must
a.
Be true.
All right, this is BowieWonderWorld.com. Okay. He has a condition called anisocoria, which is the medical term for unequal pupils. In 1962, age 14, he got punched in the eye by his school girlfriend, George Underwood, during an argument over a girl named Carol Goldsmith. This is very specific. George's
I love
George's
this.
Fingernail
this
caught
ever.
David's eye and dislodged something. We know all the girls' names, but we just know it dislodged something. David was admitted to Farnsborough Hospital, where it was found that the sphincter muscles of his left eye were badly torn, and he underwent two eye operations. He has an enlarged pupil that remains permanently open, giving them an unusual appearance. Contrary to
but
popular
what about
belief,
the
David
color?
Doesn't have two different colored eyes. They're both the same color. The enlarged pupil only gives the effect of two different colored eyes. I'm going to look somewhere else, because this is... Fuck that. He's got two different colored eyes.
That didn't answer our question sufficiently enough. So that's the thing. It's a stage persona, like, ego transformation. So I think he puts in a contact, right? Like, maybe he actually had it altered now so that it is actually a different color. I have no idea. I thought that's where Marilyn Manson did that, too, like, after David Bowie.
So who is Kate Bosworth? Because she apparently does have two different colored eyes.
She's this really...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's why we were talking.
Barbie-looking blonde woman that... I don't know. There might just be some. She is an actress.
She's an actress.
Patrick just said she had two different colored
eyes. She's like a B actress,
B
kind of a B plus
store.
Kind of actress.
I love
yeah,
B's.
B plus, I love it.
B plus.
She played the lead in that. Surfing movie, like those three
crush.
Women.
I
were
swear
surfers.
I haven't seen it. I just know it. I haven't
yeah,
fucking seen
oh
it.
Oh my god,
no,
you're such
no,
a liar. You totally watch
no.
it
yeah.
every night.
Job
you
was
came
like,
out with that
oh,
name so
yeah.
quickly.
No, I was once a child of the television.
So quickly.
It raised me in a lot of respects. So I've seen a lot of commercials, and at one time or another, fucking Blue Crush was on those goddamn commercials, and it just got stuck inside my brain.
It's okay. You don't have to lie.
Right,
We're
I'm stepping away for
you.
A moment. You can.
It's totally acceptable. to have spent an evening watching girls.
I've seen way,
movie.
Way that's stupider total... things that I'd never admit to over like in public. So whatever. Like it's fine. I'm willing to bear the burden of this one. If people don't know what I've really seen.
Sounds like the guy at the end of Blade Runner. I've seen things you haven't even dreamed of. I saw a movie with four surfer girls.
Who says that at the end of Blade Runner?
Yes. Oh my
god. The androncy guy. The
fucking, yeah. What's his name? He's got an awesome name. Rutger Hauer.
Like Rutger Hauer?
Are you an
Rutger
android?
Hauer.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's at the end. He's like, I've seen stargates explode over.
Right.
Something. I don't know. I don't.
Keep going.
I like
the sound
that
of
movie.
That story.
I know everyone loves that movie. I keep watching it, trying to see what everyone else sees, and I don't get it.
It didn't blow my mind when I saw it, but I appreciated it. I thought
it's pretty. It's pretty. It belongs like in a picture frame on the wall with
right. The performances don't inspire.
You know, that's
me.
It.
Like, there's nothing else around it.
Like, you know, when David talks about playing an album over a movie or whatever, like, I feel like it's a really good candidate because like I'm basically just watching a pretty thing. It's like, oh, this movie looks really cool, and actually, but I don't care at all about what's happening in it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Philip K. Dick.
Yeah. That's how I felt about Marie Antoinette.
I still haven't seen that was what, Francis Ford Coppola's daughter wrote and directed it or something? Yeah.
Sophia.
Oh,
her
okay.
Name is Sophia.
Has she done anything else that's like noteworthy besides being Francis Ford Coppola's daughter?
Yes,
here
has.
It is.
She did that.
I
Lost
found
in Translation.
Yeah, Lost in Translation.
Okay.
Virgin Suicide.
I'll give her some credit. Look, if I was a fucking rich trust fund kid and just you let me loose on some creative stuff, I could get a few works done too that weren't horrible. So I don't know. Good for her. Alan, what were you saying? You had a revelation, I think.
Just that I thought it was funny that the scene in question from the end of Blade Runner actually references Orion. I thought it was interesting.
Oh, no way.
It says, I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like, small cough, tears in rain, time to die.
Small cough. That's so awesome.
Who the fuck says time to die?
Time to die. Your time has come.
And now,
well,
I
look,
am
it wasn't
dying small cough.
It wasn't cliche.
I would large cough. Can we large cough at the end of our life? Like, I'd be like, it's appropriate then.
If someone coughed too small, I might not know they were dead.
That's exactly the point. Like, you fucking cough like you're never going to cough again, because you're not. And then people really know. They're like, I got a sense that was that guy's last cough. Like, that's
Misty,
it.
When you die, we're going to say, is she vomiting or dying?
It'll just be like hearts and rainbows. Rainbows in the dark, you guys.
Okay, I think she has bronchitis.
Can we talk about Dio and how awesome Dio is for writing Rainbows in the Dark? As like,
is there a video
one
to
of
that
the
one?
Best songs ever? There is, and he's wearing the most bomb ass shirt ever. It's got like puffy off the shoulder sleeves, and like it's cut in fringe, and he's wearing high heels.
I saw the one where he's going all Highlander, really, and he was in some C-minus production.
Oh, holy diver! Holy diver! Oh, I shouldn't say that.
If you want to regale us, if it's really horrible, I'll just cut it out.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet. No.
I like
yeah.
how John just gave it a C minus. I like how you utilize the pluses and minus. She's a B plus actress. It was a C minus.
I've been immediately sold on that system. It's really satisfying.
Yeah, I like. I like how you've added some gradients to this.
I've just had that on my mind lately, like spectrums and spectrums, so I guess I'm applying it to all kinds of things that fall into my reality tunnel lately.
Your reality tunnel.
What would you rate it? Would you give it an A plus?
Holy Diver? Or Rainbows in the Dark? There's not actually a video for Rainbows in the Dark. It's just like live studio footage. It's so rad, though. Holy Diver. I don't know. It's been a while since I watched the video. I'd say, like, between an A minus and a B plus.
So it's a 90%.
Yeah. 10% margin of like, whatevs. Like, the fact that the video makes absolutely no sense with the song, like, that's the 10% that I'm willing to be like, I could totally overlook that. That's not an issue for me. Like, it's fine for things.
I think Dio is one of the 30 guardians of the ethers or something, mapped by Dee or Crowley or one of them. I'm forgetting which, but radiant through one of the equinox sections that name was in there, and I'm forgetting. Maybe you know, Patrick. I'm forgetting, but I think Dio's in there. So.
No, I was wondering if it had something to do with Dionysus.
Oh. It's spelled Dio, though, right?
Probably.
Oh, for real?
No, okay. It's Dio.
So yeah.
Yeah. For real, dude.
I have to double check my sources then. But either way, yeah, that's even more interesting if it's, yeah, I forget. I can't believe Dionysus escaped me. That makes more sense.
Is that what DIY means?
Do it yourself, yo. Oh, that's an extra Y.
Do it, oh, self.
And Dionysus is Green Man, too, yeah. Right? Essentially.
Yeah. Dying in October.
That doesn't work.
No.
That's my birth month.
You're birthing in October.
Did you say, but did you also said, it sounded like you said Dian in October.
Dionysus.
Yeah. October has Halloween.
It's a good one.
Well, you get to wear all the masks and pretend that you're not wearing masks in real life. And then but I've always had definitely some kind of a weird affinity for it, even though I really... You know, I don't even go trick-or-treating anymore. Well, of course I don't go trick-or-treating. I don't go trick-or-treating anymore.
You should. Tricks are for kids. It's the best.
I think that is the best. John, your homework assignment for this October is to go trick-or-treating. You were talking about, you know, facing new experiences just for what they are.
This is
you
happening.
Need to you need to re-embrace.
So we need to get him to commit to this, like, right
for
now.
For real, yeah. We're signing a contract. I want your... If you don't do it, we
do
take possession of your soul.
And all of the gummy bears that you would have collected.
We keep your candy.
In the other dimensions where you do it, we go there and fucking collect all of the gummy bears from all those other dimensions. They're going to get so pissed at you for not agreeing to do it in this dimension.
We're totally going to like throw eggs and shaving cream on that guy in the other dimension. He's like, but I did it! But I did it! Missy, will you make John a costume?
Yes! So obviously yes. I think it should be a mummy costume because the toilet paper would be useful. We could recycle it. after we wrapped on in it, we can recycle it.
Talking to Alan earlier too, I brought up this thing where Stanislav Grof, who's this transpersonal psychologist, was basically he did a whole bunch of LSD and recounted this experience. And he basically said he was, you know, swimming in feces at some point. And he was like, how do I deal with this experience? He came to the conclusion, he's like, okay, well, I could just shift into the mind of this sort of parasite or this sort of thing that would feed on this material and make it your shitty playground. And he didn't make a shitty playground. And it was suddenly, he's like, it suddenly became bearable. And I even found things to like about it.
It's all about the perspective.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like, well, I'm not there yet. I'm pretty enlightened. I'm not there yet. But who knows? Maybe I can get to shit-eating enlightenment.
Let's see. We just need to find a big vat of poo.
See what my tolerance is.
And then test.
I'd rather just drop a bunch of acid.
Misty, you asked
do
about
you or
the,
do you not have an aversion to the smiley poo emoticon?
I have aversions to all emoticons, but definitely the smiley piece of shit.
But that one in particular.
Maybe.
So if that's the case, I think you're nowhere near that level of being able to handle.
You have to embrace your larva-like nature.
You got to start
digital
with
larva.
The emoticons, and then you move into...
Yes.
The big vat of poo.
We started talking about poo at the 42-minute mark.
Doug, your show is shit.
That makes me so happy. There's gold in
the Well, the dung beetle was very revered. That was just a shitmonger. I mean, the shit can be the sun if you want to think about it. Turn it to gold, full of Jodorowsky. And
no, poo is poo, John.
Can't be transformed.
This is where it's not both anymore. She got her to make a decision. Poo is poo.
Look, you should be
That's where she draws
yourself.
The line.
You got me to make a decision. The line
Yeah, I'm here
drawn.
To push you all off your fences because we all can't be on a fence. How boring would that be, Will?
Off our feces.
Such a dick. God.
So, I want to talk Transformers, but I don't know what vector to get into on it. All I know is that I've had sort of like cybernetic things on my mind, so I've been thinking of Transformers a little bit. Did you finish? You watched...
What's Transformers?
Yeah, what is Transformers? Well, maybe Patrick can tell us because I think he's...
I lost time.
Patrick directly touched one as a child, so he was destined.
Oh my god! I did too! I totally gave myself away. I was going to see how long I could have run with that. No! Okay! Over Christmas, I got to meet Optimus Prime. Or one version of him. I was so
Yeah, it was
happy.
Your higher self. It was like hovering over you. Like some sort of guardian
I know,
angel.
It's adorable. We
yeah.
belong together. I belong inside of him.
So like Power Rangers?
You're his Matrix.
What?
You're his Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Exactly.
It's very romantic.
No, wait. That's reversed. You
no,
said
I'm
you belong...
The Matrix.
Yeah,
I belong
you
inside
belong
him.
Of
and
him.
I'm... Yeah.
But a Matrix is a womb, so if you were his Matrix, he would be entering you. Or is it like this beautiful space of you're entering each other?
That.
Yeah. I think they make apparatuses that you can strap on to make that happen.
I know. I heard that's the case. That was the best. Moment of silence ever.
I know.
Everyone was just like, whoa.
Anytime you go there, it's always going to instigate a certain, at least a 10-second wait time for everyone to kind of regain their composure. It throws off anyone's equilibrium. Yeah,
Shake it off.
Isn't the Optimus Prime, wasn't he red and blue as well? So that's, okay, so that's serious. And then that actually foreshadows, well, it doesn't foreshadow, it's just, it's the same as Superman, which is the Ubermensch. Yeah. So as a higher self and a you being his higher self or something, there's all that going on too. And you're into Nietzsche, so that probably is some little resonance there, I'm guessing.
Do you guys realize
yeah, he's
me.
Into you.
He's into
you're flowing into each
but...
other.
You're his matrix.
I am his matrix. I am his dark black diamond matrix.
I just want to throw, this is probably really obvious to people, but this was something I just realized the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about Superman, but so he has the
Superman
symbol.
Is awesome.
The symbol on his chest is actually a pentagon, right? It's a five-sided shape.
It's a diamond.
Right, it's a diamond, but it's specifically that it's five sides, and then the S inside, which is remarkably similar to a five, right? A five and an S. So it was a sort of like you guys like your quintessence or your. Pentamental, pentagons, I just thought it was really interesting that it's basically like a five within a five.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that. And my nephews are really into Superman. Well, obviously all kids are fucking into that stuff, but it's just funny that they're around and I'm around.
I think we figured out John's Halloween costume.
Oh
Can we get me like a pseudo body where like fake muscles underneath the suit?
you want me to carve you like foam muscles?
Yeah, kind of like an Arrested Development thing. I could, yeah. And then I just start wearing it around like everyday life because I'm so insecure that I need to project buffness.
I would so be your best friend if that were the case. Like 100%.
I would at least do it for one day in public on a non-holiday day to really just...
on a non-Halloween day.
Yeah, just any non-holiday now, especially non-Halloween.
No, I want to be Superman.
Hey, my best friend in elementary school, we met because on Halloween, he was wearing a homemade Optimus Prime costume. Wow. And I just had to go up and talk to him. And like ever since then, we were best friends.
I occasionally see videos online of people who make their own Transformers costumes and then just go around like on the street and roll around and transform. And I swear to God, if I ever see one of those people on the street anywhere, I am collecting them and taking them home with me forever. And they will just have to do that like all the time whenever I ask them to.
Are you going
to
do like a Rick James and keep them in a cage? And occasionally give them food and water.
Exactly.
Sorry, we won't sell you out. We like you. Probably more than the people you capture and keep in your apartment. Patrick, there must be something on your mind.
The only thing I've thought of so far is there's another band that has a song called Rainbows in the Dark.
No way.
Yeah, the band is Tilia and the Wall. Anyone heard of them?
No.
Oh. They have an actual video for it, though.
No way.
Yeah.
Is it as rad as Dio's Rainbow?
I haven't seen that one, but...
Are there shredding guitar solos and tight pants a la the 80s?
No. Their shtick is that they don't have a drummer, they have a tap dancer.
Oh my god!
For their
rhythm. Okay, wait, that makes it kind of in the running. I'm excited. Tell me more.
That's about it.
Do they do synchronized tap dancing?
They mention synchronicity in one of their songs.
That's not as good as synchronized tap dancing. You can make yourself sound like a train. Well, I say self if you do more than one person. I saw this happen at the Crazy Horse in Paris. Their halftime show at the time was... like this pair of dancing, and they kind of look like almost look like twins, and they were sort of dressed from like the 1920s tap dancers. It was like so impressive. It was like way better than any naked lady I'd ever seen there. Like, it was so good. I was like, I went home and I immediately signed up for tap dancing lessons at the community center, like just down the street from me. I was totally transformed by the experience. But they did this whole thing where they made themselves sound like trains, and it was awesome.
How did your tap dancing go? Your career?
Clearly, I'm the most successful tap dancer that ever existed.
Yeah, well, that's what...
Which is why you guys knew this fact about
that's
me.
That's what we brought you on.
Mm-hmm. To talk about my tap dancing career.
I want so bad
Twinkle
to
Toes.
Tap dance.
Oh man, I know, that's, right? I wasn't very good at it. So.
Can I admit something to you?
Yes, please.
I actually bought a pair of tap shoes.
I have some too. Alan, do you want to make a dance together?
I went and took a class, and the teacher basically like was like, the same hat. You're not for you, but and I was like,
oh, no.
going home with my
hand on the shoulder.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, I still have them.
I still have mine too.
I think we listen. I might not be good, but I think we together.
I'm not
we
good
could
either.
Awesome.
I stopped. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. We could do our own shit in our tap shoes. It would be so.
Hey,
awesome.
Who's composing this? Because basic math is that two negatives don't make a positive. So if the blind can't lead the blind into something.
You're wrong.
It's gonna be an abstract.
You are so wrong, John.
I doubt your commitment to Misty and Alan's sparkle motion tap dance.
Yeah.
How dare you doubt me?
Maybe it's your will. and I just don't understand it. And you two are finally realizing what your will is, and it's just to be this great tap dancing duo. But
to have one great routine that we like nail down.
Yeah, and you travel carnivals across the United States and do your little act. Oh my God.
What was that?
That was good. Was that not a soft shoe shuffle?
We like have to communicate the type of steps that we do in like Morse code, kind of like buzzing, scratching. Oh my God! Well, that's basically like communicating like bees. I'm totally into this.
There's one guy theorizes that the pulsars, and I think Sirius might be a pulsar. I'm forgetting where. Usually they're twin stars and they blink in a certain pattern. They're called like lighthouse stars, and they're very periodic, and they seem to almost be intelligent. Yeah, that's what he's speculating. He's like, these things are giant Morse code, communicating what we don't know. But he's into kind of like ciphers and cipher cracking and code cracking, probably because he was a fan of Turing or something. But that seems to be just a working hypothesis, too.
John, you mentioned in a, I think it might have actually been an Always Record that I wasn't on, that I was listening to, that the guy who invented the computer, right, Alan Turing, that's who you're talking about, that he killed himself by eating a cyanide-laced apple.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, he was...
Did you say that?
He was being forced into, like, a quasi-hermaphroditic existence because the British government discovered he was a homosexual, and their program for people in the 50s was to drug the shit out of them to try to make them straight and these vicious hormone treatments. And it made him horribly depressed, and to kill himself, he laced an apple with cyanide. And so it's a strange alchemical suicide moment. And he was also this strange dichotomy in that he invented the first computer, but he also did some pioneering work in what's called biological morphogenesis, or how things take shape, which seems totally outside his realm of expertise. But he was a strange character that had a foot in both sorts of worlds. And then, of course, he ends it very poetically in this sort of strange union, only it's really macabre. But yeah, that's how he went.
So the idea of like the Macintosh computer being the bitten apple, like everyone automatically sort of assumes that it has this sort of like apple in the garden connotation. But like that, when I heard that, that was the first thing I thought of. Like, you're telling me the 50% of the world's computers have an image of bitten apple on it, and the guy who invented the first one used that to kill himself.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, that's true.
And awesome. Of course Steve Jobs knew who he was. I mean, even someone knows who he is. So.
And you're no Steve Jobs.
I'm no Steve Jobs.
Tell you, even a guy like you, and you are no...
But computers aren't like my focus or anything, but Turing's a very, as you might know, I can't get such basic things to work. I'm still such a child of black box society. It really troubles me sometimes. It's like I have all this stuff around me and I don't know how any of it works. I'm so helpless. But I guess that's why I'm likable in a way. I'm just kind of like a wounded animal. I got that going for me. But I don't know, like Jobs, he came up for a moment. And I don't know, like I, in one sense, his story's interesting and reveals certain things about the human mind and creativity and the links between the unconscious, the conscious, creativity, and even psychedelics. But at the same time, he came back and he just created this sort of like really monolithic, exploitative, technotopic, or I don't know, this kind of disturbing entity, and that's monopolistic and kind of crazy and pathological, like all corporations are nowadays. But it's just like even this guy who comes back with enlightenment, it's sort of it reminds me of the hero journey where the hero gets a boon, but then he sort of like inverts it for his own purposes and exploits instead of using it for good, and in a sense turns himself into like a tyrant. So even a story like his is really archetypal.
Like the one great ring.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that one is so obvious now that I really see in the light of day as to what it is. But I still have to read more on Tolkien. I want to know about his like associations with mystery schools and stuff. I know they're there. I just don't know a lot about them. But it's fascinating because, I mean, just, Misty, you've seen Lord of the Rings enough to know it's just hitting a lot of different chords, even if you don't even recognize all of them, and I don't. It's just like, you see enough, you're like, holy shit. It's, even like the Gandalf where he's falling with the Balrog and then winds up on top of the mountain where he dies and is reborn from gray to white. Which certainly has some relevance, but just
transformation color.
It's always about transformation.
Way to bring it back around.
Yeah, it's always transformation. So Transformers is like such actually a fundamental weird, you know, it's like robots and shit, and it's almost transhumanist in a way, but it's still,
it's more than meets the eye, okay? It's like right there in plain sight. Like they sing it to you before every goddamn episode. Like, hello, pay attention. Like,
I am now. I am now. Yeah,
I know. Hey, I'm just
Misty,
saying,
you're a fabric person.
Kind of, yes.
Well, meaning, I guess my question is, whole...
I'm more than just fabric. I have flesh and blood, too, Alan.
I imagine that you are many, many things and in many dimensions. But my question is really... it was kind of a joke, but it got me thinking about it. Whatever happened to hypercolor fabrics? Do you remember those?
No. What's hypercolor fabric?
Hypercolor was it was like these t-shirts that we had in like the late 80s, early 90s, I don't know. And it was like...
I also grew up on a rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so some things didn't make it there.
But you're about the same age as me, right?
I'm 31.
Yeah, that's close enough. I'm 34.
Okay, I also just didn't pay attention, I guess.
I don't know. I'm just, I just meant like, I didn't want to completely date myself. So it was like, does anyone else remember this, Patrick, John? Yeah. There were t-shirts that like you would touch, like they got hot. And,
oh,
like
mood rings and stuff?
Yeah, it was like a mood fabric. But okay. It was only two colors. But what would end up happening, it was like, there was a reason why they went out of style is because they were like really popular for summer. But of course, what happens is you'd be walking around with like an orange shirt with like green armpits because you'd be really hot under your arm. And that's where it would change color, right?
Or, like the best thing ever.
Right.
People would always like pants. Your butt would always be a different color.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I love that.
Like people would
just like David Bowie's eyes.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Kind of.
Well, David Bowie's eyes is because he's so hot he just can't stop changing colors.
Were you just wondering whatever happened to it?
Well, I was kind of wondering, but like I said, I am answering my own question because I know what happened. Like it wasn't something really for people to walk around in.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And also, my brother and I learned after my mother bought us, you know, these expensive t-shirts, we also learned that if you wore it into the swimming pool that had chlorine in it, you basically destroyed the color-changing aspect of the t-shirt.
Oh, so no pool days.
No pool day with a hyper-colored t-shirt. But anyway... I want someone out there to like bring it back in a way that's smart. You know, maybe the armpits are not color changing.
No,
maybe...
the boobs.
Right.
The boobs should
some
be in color.
Under boob sweat, you know.
Yes. That would work. That's genius.
Boob shadow? Didn't you coin that term, Alan?
I did.
Boob shadow.
Boob shot for all the different kinds of shadows that boobs cast.
I was referring to Rihanna's tattoo, and I said it was in her boob shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the boob shadow.
Zone. It's a great zone to be in.
Yeah, it's a good place.
It's a really great zone. Totally. You're at the foot of the mountains. Hello. You've finally come down.
Hey, speaking of Rihanna, what does it mean that Chris Brown, is that the guy who beat her up?
Yes.
When I was leaving work, he was coming to my hotel. They're staying there this weekend.
Oh.
Like, not my hotel, the hotel where I work.
You have
did you guys know
I'm so distracted
I own a hotel.
By the idea that you had a hotel. I was like, whoa, Alan, how have you been keeping this from us for so long? And why can't we all go there and play?
The sink book coffers, Alan, raiding them and buying houses. Because so much is,
saying, donations, membership, everyone sign up. Meanwhile, I'm building this crazy hotel.
Is it secretly a castle?
Yeah, it's a castle the same way as a castle is actually like
a fishing hut.
Yeah. I've made about enough money to build a fishing hut. That's my guess.
You can make it like that creepy mansion in Rose Red or whatever, any of those fucking creepy mansion movies that are all meant to fuck with your head and make you get lost in them forever. And then you could charge people. Just be like, come lose your mind.
I don't know if anyone listened to, there was a guy that was on 42 Minutes. Me and Doug and Andras were all on this one 42 Minutes with this guy. His name was Paul Wendell Obis. And
I listened to most of that.
This is a real life thing that happened. A guy built, like a serial killer, built a hotel for like a world's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But the hotel was designed to trap and kill people. Like, it would have people come into
the hotel. Would eat people?
I don't think the hotel would eat people.
How did he make the hotel eat people?
That's a much better story. Yes, the hotel ate people.
And a much more interesting power to have.
Yeah.
The ability to make other things eat other things. Inanimate objects eat live things.
But as you learn from Transformers, inanimate objects can still be like things, like living things.
Yeah, it's like a giant servitor. It's like, oh, it's my golem. I'm making do things that I want it to do. It's like, you know, my will is expressed as horrifying death machine that the bookshelf swings and you get pulled into a gas chamber. Get gassed, get shanghaied down some tunnel.
John, your stories are so sad. Stop. It's horrible. What never existed in Transformers ever. Like, not even on Megatron's bad day did that ever happen. Calm down. God.
Wait, actually, didn't Unicron eat planets?
Yeah,
Unicron
he totally did.
See.
But Unicron was a planet, wasn't he? Didn't?
Yeah.
Planets eating planets?
Wait, so whose head turns into Cybertron?
Turns into Cybertron?
Yeah, doesn't that happen?
I don't know. Not that I know of, but there's a lot of
Patrick, you're
tangent universes
right
I haven't gotten into.
Something in the new Star Trek, I think it was the new Star Trek, like a place they landed was a former head, or X-Men, I don't know. I haven't seen that many movies, but I can't remember. But the place that they landed was a giant head of some former Galactic Titan or something. I think it was
all right, here's
the new
a
Star
question
Trek,
for like... everyone. Misty, you like Star Trek?
I do.
Right. Did you like the new revamped movie versions?
I didn't like the first one as much as I liked the second one. Into Darkness was really good.
But
at this point I wasn't looking at it as like necessarily like tied to Star Trek. Like I was just looking at it in and of itself.
I want to know, like I haven't seen any of them. I haven't watched, I was such a geek growing up. Like when the first X-Men movie came out, like I waited in line for that shit.
Yeah.
Like. But then at some point I just like really stopped caring because I'm like, okay, whatever. It's like, it's not what I wanted it to be or whatever. But here's my question. How did we get to the point where the same guy can direct the Star Trek movies and the Star Wars movies and the people aren't even like really happy? It's not like he was like, did like this such a job that everyone was like, this is the greatest Star Trek adaptation ever. Like, I just want to know, like, it was always like, there's Star Trek and there's Star Wars. Those are two different things. They weren't both. They weren't both. They were this or this. And somehow the same guy can direct both is weird to me.
And, like, still walk around without getting things thrown at him?
Yeah, like I said, if he was seen as, like, a hero of sci-fi,
Or was that his plan? Maybe he was a Star Wars fan and he wanted to ruin Star Trek.
Like he's a mole? Like he's he's a mole right now?
He's a mole man.
So J.J. Abrams is the mole. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just weird to me as like a, as an observer of pop culture that the same guy is allowed to direct both movies. That someone in Hollywood somewhere was like, you can direct the two biggest space franchises. You can have them both. That's really fascinating to me. Like, we don't have a bigger name in Hollywood right now than...
Or a better storyteller or something. Like, Abrams is brought in... I think he gets a rap as this, like, great archetypal storyteller because of fucking Lost. But Lost is not a good archetypal story. It's, like, just miscombobulated BS that never gives you anything satisfactory beyond what? It was a dream or something? It's like, oh, well done. So it's kind of just... I find it to be just a menagerie and not really cohesive.
John, are you an other?
Not that it's... Maybe, maybe I'm just trying to sabotage the truth. I'm a disinfo agent. Don't listen to J.J. Abrams. He has the truth. But, like, I like Guillermo like, del Toro like, way better. I mean, he hasn't done a lot, but, I mean, Pan's Labyrinth, you want to know, like, how good archetypal storytelling is supposed to be? It's not that J.J. Abrams did a movie with Lost, necessarily, but it might as well have been for a TV series, and he had way more time to develop it, and he still fucked it up. And Pan's Labyrinth was... Watching it again, I couldn't believe it. Like, it's so... It's both in-your-face and really subtle, and... The choice of hyper fascism with hyper surrealism. I don't know. It's like, it really a amazing effort at trying to reconcile, like, okay, well, if there is this wonderful transcendental afterlife or like parallel archetypal reality, how do you reconcile that with these shitty, horrible, war torn places? And, you know, what, how does that all fit together? And it doesn't give you an answer per se, but I think that if you think about it, you can derive something from it or some lessons from it. And it was just really awesome again to watch. And just realizing again that like she descends into like the Saturnian child eater's feast, the guy with the eyes in his hands. And I didn't realize that earlier in the movie, they also have a feast with all the officers of Franco's officers. And it's the same scene. It's the captain is the Saturnian timekeeper. And he's I think he's grayish black.
Is that the theme for? Black. I mean, do all the scenes reflect what's going on above world?
That's what I was trying to connect. I didn't know. Like, I'm like, oh, did the frog scene where the frog throws up a key? Where was the parallel with that? And I haven't been able to piece them all together, but I saw that one pointed out to me. I'm like, oh yeah, what the fuck? How didn't I see that? But I mean, he does stuff like that that even it's obvious to some people, but. Not obvious to most. And
so is it like a dissociation, almost like, you know, Wizard of Oz, where she's like, oh, the Tin Man was really her Uncle Jebediah or whatever the fuck. Right. So it's like,
right.
Was this a, exactly. Again, like, was this a literal place that she's actually showing the, as you say, like, because I really like what you said, like, there's horrible earthly, you know, grounded fascism. And there's also like the beautiful fantasy, you know, like are these two, you know, that we've talked about the Dionysian Apollonian sort of counterbalance, how these things are always juxtaposed. I wonder if it's like that he's showing the balance of these two things, or she's essentially kind of like dissociating, like she's in such a horrible fucking place that she's like, la 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 la, beautiful, wonderful world.
La la la.
Right.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about it, and they're like, well, it could mean what you're saying, like something about transcendentalism, or it could just be a perspective of this person's insane. Or not insane, just like you said, disassociative as a child dealing with trauma and transitions and all this stuff. And other people have talked about it, basically the whole movie focusing on menstruation, which I think is kind of Freudian and simplistic and doesn't cover all its bases, but it's just an interesting addition to, if you want to take a hyper materialistic perspective on it, that's one way to see it. But I think, I don't know. I think most big time entertainers or directors or writers and people that play with these ideas, not always, like we always talk about sync just bleeds into their work, so it's hard to know what they put in there and what they meant for and
it
what they
didn't. It depends on how good of a wizard you are.
But he seems to... I know. That's what's so curious about it. It's because, Alan, like you said, you've been putting all this stuff into Syncquake News, but by doing that, it almost catalyzes the unconscious even more. Like, you're being aware of the unconscious makes the unconscious even more active. It's this weird positive feedback where it's like, but counterintuitive, because you think that by knowing more about it, you should be able to avoid all the unconscious stuff. You know, we're always,
but you just go deeper,
pretending to be masters of our universe. It's, yeah, it's just deeper and fucking deeper and always surprises you. Basically. I mean, Alan, that's,
I don't know, right, what the fuck you're talking about.
I got lost when you said deep too. I'm, yeah, sorry.
I thought you were trying to hypnotize, yeah, me. Deeper.
That's what Jodorowsky did to convince some cinematographer to be on Busted Dune. I love that story. He gave him like this really potent marijuana and just like fucked with his head. But it was like not fucking with the head, just like bringing him into a trance. The respect I have for anyone that like has that amount of awareness.
That's what I was talking about.
Not manipia.
Sorry, go ahead. What were you?
I said that's how I got John to be on Always Record. You want to be a co-host on the show.
You really do.
It's the greatest show ever.
It only gets deeper once you're in.
I hardly ever get flattered or asked to do anything. So
you're a bad liar.
You pick the right person.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from SyncBook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune in to our other SyncBook Radio programs, 42 Minutes, Always Record, Marty Leeds, Synchronize, Pentimental, and SyncQuick News. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of these, as well as our books and videos at thesyncbook.com.